Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win. Like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. The Brian Callahan era begins today. His introductory press conference in one hour. We will carry that live and in its entirety. Joining us now is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and, of course, head coach. Absolutely. At Endsworth High School.
Yeah, give him the cred.
Gotta give him the cred. Tim, appreciate you for joining us. Brian Callahan will be the Titans' next head coach. What do you make of the hire?
Yeah, I like it a lot. I love his offensive background. I mean, I'm probably a little bit biased just because of, things that I learned, I guess, and really not just me, probably myself and my brother, from our time in the NFL. And, obviously, his father was somebody that kind of been around and close to things that my brother and I have experienced. And obviously he has kind of come off of that tree. And so I just think from an offensive perspective, I love his background. And then I also think in terms of how he's worked his way up in the profession, I believe is the right way. So I like it. I think it's a lot different than Mike Vrabel. And not to say that Vrabel was bad or anything like that, but just it's so different that I think that if we were to make a change and there was probably some intrigue in terms of why you were making the change, I think the difference is significant enough in terms of personality and things like that.
And I'm interested to hear your perspective as a quarterback. Brian Callahan is going to be calling plays. Mm-hmm. Haven't heard who is going to be his offensive coordinator. I would assume that Rand Carthon will give him the liberty to choose his own offensive coordinator. What is that dynamic like between the quarterback, a play-calling head coach, and the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I think that the big thing with that would be is, when you have a head coach that's calling plays, what is the structure to handle game management stuff, right? So make sure your game management stuff is handled, because that's hard for the head coach to have the game management piece as well as calling a play. So I think from even a game day perspective, it's unique and something you have to work through. In terms of the head coach quarterback connection and relationship, what's interesting there is, when you're the head coach, you have a lot of other responsibilities. And with that, I think what happens is, do you have the time to be in the meeting room with the quarterback all the time, really talking through everything? You don't, because as a head coach, there's just other things you have to do when you're the head coach of the team in the National Football League. So then there's that piece of it. So I think probably the hire of offensive coordinator, and I would agree with you, I think it would be crazy to think that he does not have the authority to hire his own offensive coordinator. I think that hire, how much of a just direct connection is it all the way through from head coach, coordinator, quarterback coach, quarterback? I think that ends up being really important. And that's part of the reason why I think, you have to have full authority in terms of who you hire and put in that spot.
Yeah, you're right. We talked about it a little bit yesterday, Tim. We talked with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach at the Endsworth Tigers here in town. That dynamic between quarterback and offensive coordinator is going to be a critical one because, like you said, the head coach, even though he is the play caller, he has other duties that he has to attend to during the week. So it's going to be imperative that whoever he hires as coordinator thinks just like him in regards to how you want things structured, how you want to be, how you want to call these plays, when you want to call them. That's why I look at a guy. It's interesting how Dan Pitchert was named OC for Cincinnati. They didn't want him to get out the building because they wanted that continuity. Can you see a guy like Troy Walters now, who was the receivers coach, who has been with Brian Callahan at Cincinnati for a while, can you see him being a guy that he hires as OC? Because like you said, Tim, he needs someone that thinks just like him because he has to delegate other duties. He has other duties that he need to attend to. So whoever that OC is has to be an extension of him.
Yeah, and I think that part of what happens with that is like a guy like Troy, who's done, I mean, honestly, was an amazing player in his own right, you know, at Stanford and then, you know, played in the NFL as a wide receiver. I think part of it ends up being where you ask yourself, okay, what do I need as the head coach, coordinator, who's there? Like, do I have a blind spot in the passing game? Do I have a blind spot in the run game? Do I have a blind spot with my quarterbacks? Like, who is the right person in that spot? And I think that, you know, a lot of times it comes down to what has your experience been like working with him, right? So, like, I would think that Troy, I would guess that Troy is absolutely a candidate based on his background, what he's done, who he's been around, and how long he's been around them. So, yeah, I think that there's that. There's also, you know, when you can kind of look and say, all right, I know what we've done, but it's also not terrible to have guys that, you know, I have a good relationship with, but they have ideas and have done things, you know, not exactly the way that we did them in Cincinnati or the way that, you know, that we've been taught to coach the offensive line when, you know, Bill, his father, was coaching at the Jets or at the Raiders or places like that. So, you know, I think it's trying to strike the balance of that so that, honestly, that you are – you know, building the best staff possible to get the most out of your guys.
Now that we know who the head coach is, obviously the staff is not in place yet. Is there a spot, because Caroline and I talked about this earlier, is there a space for Derrick Henry within this offense? Because I believe that in hiring Brian Callahan, they've removed themselves completely from what the Titans, the old Tennessee Titans. I think now they're in a direction where we want to do some of the things that other NFL teams are doing, more innovative things. And in saying that, does Derrick Henry have a space on this team?
You know, I don't think he's the type of runner or the type, and then I don't think the resources spent on him that would be necessary are a fit. Like, that would be my guess. And, you know, I think the, I think that that's probably, and look, if I were in that spot, I would be looking at, you know, younger, you know, less expensive running backs that, you know, I think the way I would look at it, if I was anticipating like, hey, what will the team do? I would look at places like, you know, San Francisco before they got McCaffrey. I would look at, you know, the Miami Dolphins and what they've tried to do. I would look at, you know, places like I would look at Kansas City in terms of, you know, things that they have done. Like that's what I would anticipate is the direction. Now, I could be wrong about that, but it just feels like in terms of history of who they've coached and how they've coached them, I would guess that the running game starts to look a little bit more like the Rams, the Niners, the Dolphins, like that type of stuff would be my expectation.
Last one for you, Tim, quickly, because I know you got to run, but it was announced yesterday, in addition to the official release that Brian Callahan was going to be the head coach, that Rand Carthon now will have final say over the roster, and he'll also oversee Brian Callahan, the coaching staff, and the coaching staff as well. What do you make of that new dynamic now that Rand officially has the keys to the car?
Yeah, I think it's probably important to just be clear about that, because I think there was probably so much uncertainty over, hey, who was really in charge. And so, you know, whether or not, you know, that should, like, I guess what I would say is, I think everyone felt kind of strange about how it was set up before. And I think the fact that it's now, you know, set up in a way that's clear and defined, I think that that's, you know, good and appropriate. Now he's got that responsibility. And so, you know, with that, you know, probably, you know, comes a little bit of pressure. But I think I was glad, probably just from a clear line of delineation in terms of this is how we're structured, this is who's in charge. And so, not to say, like, now you know where the blame goes, but now you know where the blame goes.
I mean, credit and blame is incredibly important in the NFL. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate you for stopping by, and we'll chat with you next week.
Thank you, guys. See you.
All right, appreciate it. Tim Hasselbeck, he is the very best, and I think we can all agree. Brian Callahan needs to have authority over his coaching staff.
Yeah.
Even if Rand Carthon's job description says he has oversight of Brian Callahan and his coaching staff and everything that goes on within the coaching staff, it really should be Brian Callahan.
Yeah, it should be. You know, how much – I think in at key positions now, I do want to know, you know, who are you looking to hire as your DC? Because that's going to be critical and instrumental on, you know, help setting the culture of your team, your defense. So who are you looking to hire as your DC? You know, who are you looking to hire as your OC? You know, I'm thinking the easiest sort of, you know, and you know, Tim did bring it up. Even though I say Troy Walters, how was their working relationship? I tend to think it was a good working relationship, but you just never know.
Yeah.
But I always go to either Dan Pitchard, who now has gotten a job as OC, and then Troy in Cincinnati, and then Troy Walters. Now, will they elevate Troy Walters, or will they allow him to speak with other teams? I don't know. But that seemed to be more of the easy sort of transition because we all spoke the same language. We all sort of saw things the same in regards to when we met and how we put the game plan together and what was expected of you as a receiver coach, what you had to relay to your receivers. So that line of communication is there. So that's sort of an easy way to segue, you know, to help segue my coaching, my head coaching tenure off, because I got somebody that was in the same system I was in. We spoke sort of the same language. Mm-hmm. He understands what I'm looking for. I understand who he is as a coach. So it seemed like an easy transition, but it might exactly. But it might not happen. But I'm just that's a name that just keeps coming up for me. So you should have, you know, you should have the ability as the head coach to say, these are the guys that I want. Bring them in for interviews. Let's interview these guys. And then make a decision based upon that. Don't. It would be kind of awkward if you just bring somebody that he hasn't worked with or anything else or don't know, and it's like, okay, marry these two guys together. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, it may work, but if it doesn't work, then it's like we got to start this wheel over again.
Especially as far as the offense.
Exactly. You got to me. You got to get this right from an offensive standpoint. Mm-hmm. You believe you got it right by hiring the head coach. In your mind, you think you got it right. He's going to be the play caller. But you got to get it right with the OC. You got to get it right with the quarterback's coach and everybody else below that. Because if you don't get it right with them, you're going to be in the same situation looking for coaches again. Now, the only reason you want to be looking for a coach is if your offense is doing that well and he gets a job somewhere else. Okay, I get it. I don't want to be looking for a coach because my offense is suffering. I don't want to have to do that. Mm-hmm. So allow him to at least the OC and DC or just offensive guys in general.
Yeah.
Allow him to have his first pick at guys he would like to interview first and then kind of go from there.
And you got to get offensive line coach, right?
Yeah, that one you like DC, OC, well, not necessarily, I guess OC, but offensive line coach, that's imperative. You got to get that right.
You can't screw that one
up.
Yeah,
you
can't. And that's been a big topic of conversation for us. One, obviously, because the offensive line was absolutely terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you need more talent. Absolutely. But the Titans didn't have an offensive line coach this past year in Jason Hoetterling, in my opinion, that was able to get the most out of the offensive line that you had. You had terrible talent, and I also don't think that you had a very good coach.
You had a guy that wasn't ready. I don't think he was ready for the job.
No.
You elevated him maybe too soon, but you did it. That was your – you did it. It happened. But we didn't see the fruit of it. Mm-hmm. At all. It seemed like they got worse. They did get worse.
They definitely didn't get better.
Yeah, they didn't get better. They
that's
got worse.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So that, of course, obviously is one reason why that's been a big topic of conversation, and also because of who Brian Callahan's dad is. Mm-hmm. Bill Callahan. He's the offensive line coach in Cleveland. I don't think that I realized how well-respected mm-hmm. Bill Callahan is around the league until I heard Charles Robinson on with Robbie and Rexford this morning kind of singing the praises of Bill Callahan. This was Charles Robinson.
You know, Callahan's name came up, and it was interesting. He said to me, he said, you know, this guy has a premium attached to him beyond how much, you know, the Bengals really think of him. It's this attachment of Bill Callahan, obviously his father, who's the offensive line assistant at the Cleveland Browns. And I hadn't really thought about it, but I went back to my notes in training camp, and there was a general manager who I was sitting with one day, and we were just kind of talking about the difficulty of dealing with offensive line development in the NFL. And he told me, he said, look, man, the two most important assistant coaches who are not coordinators in the NFL right now. He said the two most important assistant coaches in the NFL right now are Jeff Stoutland and Bill Callahan. And he said, because you have two guys who can get their hands on offensive linemen who are coming out of college right now, who are very difficult to develop, who are very difficult to scout, and can turn these guys into an assembly line of real offensive line talent. You can take, they can take the second layer of the depth chart from the offensive line position, and they can develop into real players who can then succeed if you lose. You know, somebody goes down to an injury or free agency or whatever it is, you have an in-house ability to basically turn college players or underdeveloped linemen into an assembly line of real offensive line talent. That is a big deal in the NFL right now.
So per Charles Robinson, one NFL GM he was talking to, two of the most important or the two most important assistants in the NFL. One, Jeff Stoutland, offensive line coach in Philadelphia. We know how great that offensive line is mm-hmm. in Philadelphia. Also, he looked at Andre Dillard and said, I cannot work with this. Mm-hmm. Two, Bill Callahan, Brian Callahan's dad. And we've talked about, you know, the likelihood of bringing in or the possibility of Brian Callahan bringing in his dad, Bill Callahan, in as offensive line coach. And I think one of two things. After hearing that from Charles Robinson, now I think you have to get Bill Callahan because you have to improve this offensive line. But I also look at the other side of it and think, well, if Bill Callahan is one of the two most important assistants in all of the NFL, why would Cleveland let go of him?
Yeah, that's the million-dollar question. It's like you have one of the best at his position, at coaching his position on your team. Why in the hell am I going to let him go again just so he can coach with his son? I get it. I understand it. But I'm not going to diminish my team just to make your team better. You know, I'm not going to do that again unless I had, you know, a Mike Munchak ready on hand to go. Then I can say, okay, all right, you can make that move because now we got a Hall of Famer, Hall of Fame player, Hall of Fame offensive line coach. We got him in our building, so we're good. Would we have loved to keep Bill Callahan? Absolutely, but I understand it. But you got to have somebody to insert in that space if indeed he does leave. So, you know, it's going to be important for the Titans, not only – to get those coordinators right. More importantly, I think, you know, the DC, because the OC is the head coach, but you do want to have an OC in title that thinks more like you than anything else because you got to delegate your time to everybody. So that guy that's underneath you, that's an OC, it's going to be critical for him to know what's going on. But the offensive line coach, you got to get it right. you, with this team, the way this team has looked over the last 2 years, that position is the outside of the quarterback. But damn, really, on this team,
maybe even more important than the quarterback.
Exactly, because if you don't get it right, we're not going to see what the quarterback can potentially be.
Right.
You know, so you got to get a guy in place that understands how to develop these players, know their strength, know their strengths, work on them. Don't put them in positions where they can't go out there and succeed. How many offensive linemen do we truly need to make this one of the better offensive lines in the National Football League? We don't need a whole new starting four plus Skoronski. No, we may need two or three guys, and that's it. So a guy like Bill Callahan would be better suited to let you know, hey, listen, I sat down, I evaluated all these guys. Yeah, we need a left tackle. We need a center. We may even need a right guard. You know, he's better equipped to be able to tell you that.
A little bit of news coming up from Jeremy Fowler. We now have a little bit of clarity of Brian Callahan's contract. His deal will be for 5 years.
Okay.
If you want to move on from him after two, you can do that. Mm-hmm. If you would extend him after three and then fire him 2 years later.
She can't be paying everybody.
She is. We got a lengthy little payroll. 5-year deal for Brian Callahan. We will hear from him at the top of the hour right at 1 p.m. We'll carry his introductory press conference live and in its entirety right into your phones coming up next. Plus, what do we want to hear from Brian Callahan in his introductory press conference? What do we expect to hear in his introductory press conference? All of that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. Hey, tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits Saturday night for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders are at home facing FIU with pregame beginning at 4:30 p.m. and tip-off at 5 p.m. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. A little bit of news coming up from Jeremy Fowler. First and foremost, it's announced that Brian Callahan's deal will be for 5 years. Also, some juicier tidbits. The Titans are requesting an interview with Ravens defensive backs coach Dennard Wilson for their DC job. Wilson also met with the Giants for their DC job. And also, as Jared adds on Twitter, Dennard Wilson was in L.A. with the Rams when Rand Carthon was with the Rams. So that's where the relationship is there. I mean, the Ravens had a great pass defense this year. Sixth-ranked pass defense in the NFL, gave up just around 300 passing yards a game. To kind of put that in perspective, the Titans were 17th, giving up 335. I'm a little shocked because I haven't honestly looked at the pass defense rankings. I'm shocked that the Titans were as high as 17th in terms of pass defense.
Yeah, the way that it looked, it seemed like they should have been much lower.
Much lower.
Yeah. It should have been like the 17. 25th ranked team in pass defense. But yeah, they need some, you know, whoever they do hire, they're going to have to shore up this defense. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's going to be a defense that, is going to be turning over some players. Mm-hmm. The only guys I see, like, because you got to figure out what you're going to do with DeNico Autry. I know he's getting a little bit long in the tooth, but he's been a damn good player for you. And it's like he's a 10-sack machine. Mm-hmm. So do you keep him on your roster? I think you should try to, at least. So if you can keep DeNico Autry, you got Jeffrey Simmons under contract. You got Harold Landry under contract. So those are three guys that – you got to sort of build your team around the secondary.
It's Roger McCreary. Yeah, Roger McCreary. Really about it.
Yeah, and is Roger McCreary a every game starter? I don't know. I know he's a good player. Mm-hmm. That I do know. Is he a nickel guy? Can he be one of the best nickel guys in the National Football League? Possibly. So it's not only we got to find linebackers, we got to find secondary guys. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of new faces on this defense next year.
And it's also important to find someone that can really be the CEO of the defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, Brian Callahan's going to have his hands full with the offense. He's calling plays offensively. He will be touching all things offense. So when it comes to the defense out on the field, it's going to be, all right, DC, you take it. This is your baby. This is mm-hmm. your unit. Willie D joins us from Minnesota. Willie Donick, how are we doing?
I am doing well, guys. It is a foggy day up here. I understand it's very similar look down in Nashville today, but I am looking right from the center field camera of Target Field. I'm looking right down at home plate from center field where the Twins play. So
is anybody at home
plate?
Staying.
Nobody is at home plate. In fact, I'm not sure there is a single person in the ballpark today. It's not a beautiful day for baseball.
You going to take BP?
At all, but I would love to. I'll tell you what, if I could get the keys to get in there, just give me a bucket of balls, I'm on it. I'm on that. But we're staying in Minneapolis. This is the first time I've ever been in downtown Minneapolis. We drove by the brand, you know, it's not brand new anymore, but the Viking Stadium, which is fairly new, and where the Timberwolves play. They're having a really good year. But we normally stay right in St. Paul, the Twin Cities, of course. That's where the Wild play, and that's about 25 or 30 minutes down the road. So a little different perspective today, but very exciting news, and can't wait to hear, you know, what Coach Callahan here has got to say.
Yep, we'll hear from Brian Callahan in his introductory press conference at 1 p.m. I anticipate to hear from Rand Carthon. I would like to hear from Amy Adams Strunk. I don't expect to hear from Amy Adams Strunk. What do we want to hear from Brian Callahan?
Well, I'll tell you this. I from a number of different people, we played a clip from Albert Breer yesterday. Joe Rexrode referred to this on his column in The Athletic right after the announcement was made that they had agreed to terms with Callahan. Apparently, he's a very impressive speaker, and he has not been in the forefront because he's never been a head coach before. But everybody says he's got that sort of presence at the podium, so that's what I'm looking for. It's not as much what he says to me, but does he seem like he's got that presence? Because I think that's important, right? Mike Vrabel had his own way of doing things with the media, for sure. You know, it could be kind of crusty and moody and things like that.
Crusty
and
we just, is such a funny word to use, and so accurate.
He was so crusty. We had some fun with that over the years, right? And he could laugh a little bit here and there too. But I feel like this is going to be a little different approach. But I think whatever your approach is, your ability to deal with the media, and obviously more importantly, deal with your team. Can you be the presence in front of your team? All those meetings you have, like we made this point. When we watch the Hard Knocks for the Dolphins, right? When you only have one game a week, you got a lot of time in these meetings. You send up your assistant coaches. There's so much time between games. So your ability to communicate, keep it light, keep everybody engaged, and get the job done, there's a lot of time in between. And so I think that's an art form. So your communication skills are very important. So I'm just really curious to see what that looks like today.
Yeah, I think for me, outside of the, you know, the quarterback, what is going to be your relationship with the quarterback? What do you think of, you know, Will Levis? What do you think of Malik Willis? What do you think of the quarterback room? I think those questions, I believe everybody assume will be asked of Brian Callahan. You know, me, it's, you know, how do you build your culture? How do you build this winning culture that is talked about throughout the league? Because this is your first time actually having a hand in building the whole team, like coaches and everybody else, evaluation of talent on both sides of the ball. So how are you going to, what is your philosophy? How do you build this culture back up? How do you differ from the last regime? Because you're going to have some holdovers from the last coaching staff. You're just going to have Jeff. And we're talking about guys that are going to be critical to what you do moving forward. And I just, you know, said them, Jeffrey Simmons, Harold Landry, possibly DeNico Autry. You got Will Levis. There's going to be a holdover. Peter Skoronski definitely is going to be a holdover. Tajay Spears, Burks. How do you implement and establish your culture? And then how do you get these guys that have that haven't reached expectation? Burks, Skoronski, Will Levis to a degree. how do you get these guys to reach their full potential? What do you see in these guys? And then obviously people are going to ask about Derrick Henry. Is he a part of what you're thinking moving forward? If not, then are you thinking more of a two-back situation that you had in Cincinnati? Are you thinking more so in line of that, of how the league is more so gearing toward? So those are things that, you know, I wanted to ask. I know the structure of this team now. I don't need to ask who's making decisions and all this other stuff.
About the collaboration. Exactly. There was a whole lot of that last introductory press conference.
So we know. So that's not a question that I need to be asking Brian Callahan. I need to be asking him the things that are going on that are going to affect the roster, like the guys that are going to play. How do you approach the Senior Bowl? How do you approach that, you know, because you're jumping in. You got to jump in and run now. It ain't no slow rolling this thing. Next week, you got to be evaluating those guys at the Senior Bowl if you're not already evaluating them. So what is your process? Have you thought about that process? Free agency, what are you thinking about in free agency along with Rand Carthon? What are y'all thinking? So those are the questions that I would like to hear.
I have a lot. Yeah. Oh, sorry, Willie, go ahead.
I think, too. He may not have all those answers today.
Yeah,
I would
he may not
have it, but you might get a little sense of what he's thinking there. But he could probably play the card of, "Hey, well, I just got here," you know. But in the interviews, I'm sure he got a lot of questions like that. What would you like to see from some of these guys? How can you get more out of the young players? That certainly jumps in the guys that you made reference to are going to be important. But I just like to in a first press conference just kind of see what a guy's personality is like here. And is what's going to make him tick. I think a lot, too, about the, you know, some of the stuff that some of the former players like Wesley Woodyard have had to say about Vrabel, too. It just has you thinking, like, this is going to be probably a completely different feel around the building every day. You know, what's that going to be like, and what will that do to some of these young players? Will they, some guys might thrive in it. Some guys might not do as well in it when you change stuff like that.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions that I don't think he would answer. You know, like, I want to know what do you see? What did you see with the Titans last year? What went wrong? What would you do with the group that they had last year to improve upon it? He's not going to answer that, I don't think. At least
he's not going to pull a Sean Payton.
Right, he's not going to say, "Man, like, when you ran this and that on this down and distance, I thought that was absolutely moronic." He's not going to do that. I would love to know his true and honest evaluation of Will Levis, his year last year, maybe how much meat was left on the bone. I don't think he's going to give you that. Mm-hmm. What I would like to know, though, because I think the Titans find themselves in a very similar position, why did the Bengals ultimately decide to draft Ja'Marr Chase over Penei Sewell? The Titans are finding themselves now in a position, a top 10 draft pick. They picked third. You picked seventh. So, I mean, not the exact same. You're in a very similar position where you need a receiver. You need a number one receiver. You're not going to have D-Hop forever. And you need to bolster up this offensive line. The Bengals were in that exact same position. Mm-hmm. I was of the school of thought of, well, it doesn't matter if you have Ja'Marr Chase out there. If Joe Burrow's on his butt, it doesn't matter who you're throwing to. But ultimately, they did take Ja'Marr Chase, and that showed how smart I was because they got to the Super Bowl that year. So now the Titans find themselves in a very similar position. Young quarterback going into his second year. You need to build the offense around him. How did they ultimately get to that decision?
That'd be interesting because either guy you wouldn't have went wrong with. But in today's football, yes, the offensive line is important, but if you have a young quarterback, you want to have him some pieces to throw to. Now, they already had T. Higgins there, but they needed another receiver to go with T. Higgins, and they made the right choice by drafting Ja'Marr Chase. So I don't think anybody will look back on that and say, "No, you should have got that offensive lineman." Well, there's two ways to skin a, you know, to skin a piece of meat. You know, you don't have to. Everybody don't have to do it the same way.
Right.
You know, you can draft a Ja'Marr Chase and then, you know, go out and do the job that has been tasked to you to go out and get a free agent offensive lineman or two, and plug them in and see how it works. Or you can get an offensive lineman, but then you can go and get you a receiver via free agency. You know, and then, you know, I do want to know, like, what do you think of and maybe he can't, he's not in the space to answer this. What do you think of the potential free agent receivers out there? T. Higgins, that could, because T. Higgins' name's going to come up. You were there with him, so his name should come up in his press conference. What do you think of T. Higgins? Is he a guy that you would love to have if it worked out that way, or any other wide receivers that are going to hit the free agent market? Pay attention to the L.A. Chargers. One or both of their receivers may hit the free agency market because they are like $30-some million over the cap. So they got to slice a lot of what's going on. They got older players with big contracts. So a Keenan Allen may come up available. A big Mike Williams may come available. But what comes with them is injury. You got to be worried about the injury history of those two guys. But how do you see potentially this year's free agent crop? Not the draftees, but the free agent crowd, because you may not get a receiver in the first round. You may have to get that left tackle. So if I get that left tackle, can I then go out and get me a receiver that is 28, 29 years old that can come in and play for a few years?
Right. Every draft class is different. Yes. Every free agency class is different. If there is a Ja'Marr Chase in this year's draft class and he falls to you, then, yeah, you might want to take that receiver, like a Marvin Harrison. Is he going to fall to you at seven? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I would like to hear kind of the inside baseball. And again, he's probably not going to tell you all of the nitty-gritty of the conversation and the debates that I'm sure went on in the draft room, but it should be interesting to see. All right, Brian Callahan, his introductory press conference. We will carry that live and in its entirety. He will be at the podium right at 1 p.m. Caroline Willie DeMace. We are broadcasting live from the Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville Studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.